There are six dimensions of it. Seven concludes it with a glorious expansion all the way into Israel. So go with me to Jeremiah 33. And let me just give you a quick review. Those of you who ever go into Jeremiah or allow the Holy Spirit uses him to speak to you, you probably have found yourself in the past in Jeremiah 31, because there's so much promise, there's so much prophecy. Even the New Testament, New Covenant that was to come is prophesied in Jeremiah 31. And it's a glorious chapter. You'd almost think that from this chapter on, we just go into a whole other expression of more and more and more. But chapter 32, Jeremiah finds himself in a prison again because of his proclamations of prophecy. And in the prison, Jeremiah is sent a word from the Lord that he's to buy a field in redemption from one of his relatives. And he does so, just as the Lord says. And then he asks the Lord, why in the world are you having me do this? Because I'm inside a city that you have already doomed to destruction. So you're declaring destruction over a city, and you're now having me buy a field, put the deed into a pot, hide it, because it will be recovered at a later date, and the city will again be inhabited. So if I was Jeremiah, and I know how Jeremiah feels in some ways, God almost seems to be doing one thing and saying another thing. Or he speaks over time or various moments in time at the same time. And sometimes it's kind of like, what in the world are we doing? I mean, either destroy the place or save it. Don't say you're going to destroy it and save it, or save it and destroy it. What are you doing? And I believe that Jeremiah was being trained in eternity in the midst of living in the temporary. And how do you hold a place with God so that you can be in agreement with him in his sovereignty, in his purposes, that you can... I was sharing with someone earlier today about that, how hard it is to hold a place in a gap, because you could look at the gap and go, ooh, that's like an awful big gap, and I don't know how in the world that's ever going to get filled, and I don't know why it is there in the first place, and start reasoning yourself to what is the problem, and when in fact the reason God gave you eyes to see was so that you could go stand in that gap in joyful expectancy that Jesus Christ was sufficient. See, God loves to gather us to agree with what he did in his son, so that what he did in his son could be done in us. Because what he did, he wants to do. What has already been accomplished, he wants us to realize. He wants us to receive what he's been given. He wants us to become what we've been made. But from the unseen to the seen is conflict. And it becomes at times real struggles to hold your place in agreement with the unseen while in the midst of the seen. So Jeremiah is going through a massive school of learning. And God doesn't really lighten up on him, because he knows enough to say, God, you can do anything, but what are you doing? And so the Lord puts back to him, I can do anything, and watch me do it. Sometimes when it comes to being schooled in faith, God is pretty stringent on me, you know, staying in agreement with him and not disagreeing when it's something he's wanting me to see and hear. So by the time you get through Jeremiah 32, we've prophesied ourselves again into a massive place of renewal, a beautiful place, a place. Verse 41, just chapter 32. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will assuredly plant them in the land with all my heart and with all my soul. So, I mean, we're just talking about God's passion. Now we get to Jeremiah 33. So at your leisure, take a back through 31, 32 and kind of see this struggle that this prophet must live with. Moreover, On top of all of that, that's a moreover, on top of all that, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it, and the Lord is his name. So again, did he make the prison for Jeremiah to be held? Or did he make all of the earth for Jeremiah to live in? Yes, yes, both. And call to me, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. I love Jeremiah because somehow the guy could get a hold of God no matter where he was placed. And sometimes where he was placed was because of the word of God. And it wasn't always up. Sometimes it was down into a deep pit. And yes, it wore him thin. And yes, he got at points where he just said, okay, King, I'll tell you what God's saying, but promise me you won't put me back in the pit because it's just too, I'm not processing this well. So, and here the Lord is saying, call on me, call on me. And so right now, let's call on the Lord, okay? So that he can answer us tonight and show us great and mighty things which we don't know. So close your eyes or hold your hands up, whatever posture you could make, and call on the Lord. Each of us online, Lord, we call on you right now tonight. Lord, we call on you from the place we find ourselves in. If we are still in the prison and you've come to us a second time, we want to hear you. We want to receive from you. We're calling on you, Lord, so that you might answer us and show us great and mighty things which we don't know. I want to know what I don't know, because if you don't show me what I don't know, I'll never know it. So I'm calling on you, Lord, to answer me and show me great and mighty things which I don't know. That's the exhortation you gave Jeremiah. You wanted him to see something he couldn't see, hear something he couldn't hear. So do it for us tonight. Now establish yourself in agreement with that. You may not yet feel it, but agree with it. Agree with the truth of God's word, because the word will introduce us to an experience that may or may not be the one we're currently having. It will override the experience we're in to bring us to the experience we're to have. And here the truth of the word says, call on me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you don't know. So that's what we're experiencing. That God is answering us tonight. And he's going to show us great and mighty things which we don't know. Because that's who he is. That's what he said. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. So imagine Jeremiah sitting in that prison cell having an encounter with God. He's just probably started a prayer time. And at prayer times usually lead to prophetic times. He might have been sitting around minding his own business and the Lord showed up and just started to appear to him. In either case, there was a response requested. God said, here I am. Now I want you to call on me. So he's stepping into a prayer experience and he's calling on the Lord. And now God says, I want you to expect me to show you something great and mighty which you don't know. And then God continues this conversation by framing it again in futility. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city and the houses of the kings of Judah, which have been pulled down to fortify against the siege mounds and the sword. Verse 5. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but only to fill their places with dead bodies of men whom I will slay in my anger and my fury, all for whose wickedness I have hidden my face from this city. So not only is Jeremiah sitting in a prison, but he's in the midst of futility. There's an effort, a national effort, a citywide effort to save the city that is not going to work. So this is the context that God is having an experience with him in. And I don't know about you, but that is probably one of those, the just shall live by faith and not by sight, walk by faith and not by sight, that gives us the good report and pleases the Father, that we can listen to a conversation from heaven that's contrary to the conversation that's being broadcast at us, and even have God speak to us toward an issue that we're involved in that isn't going to work, but it doesn't disengage us from the place we're in. Jeremiah was the greatest believer in Jerusalem all the way to the end of its destruction. By the time Jeremiah, the city is taken by the Chaldeans, by the Babylonians, which are one of the same people, he's offered by Nebuchadnezzar, you can live in the city, you can have any part of it you want, you have freedom to move about, this is your place, this is your home. But what happens is the rest of Israel is so traumatized by what just took place in Jerusalem that all of the inhabitants of Jerusalem decide we're going to leave here and get our way all the way to Egypt and get safe there. And Jeremiah is prophesying, saying, guys, don't go to Egypt. It's not God's will. We have to be here now. It's good. It's okay. It's over. We can start building. And then they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. So where do they go? Egypt. Where does Jeremiah go? No, he goes with them to Egypt. Because something about a prophet is a prophet tends to go with the people. He doesn't, you know, he isn't like a, okay, I told you my advice, you didn't follow it, I'm leaving. He goes, no, my assignment is you. Do you understand this? This is going to really help us. God's assignment, we're his assignment. Now, if I hear him, I respond and I receive. If I don't hear him and I move away from him, does he move away from me or does he continue to follow me? He stays with me. He won't leave me. He can't forsake me. So those, when God gives somebody a sound that's heavenly toward helping a people in a direction they're to go, typically you can tell the difference between a teacher or a hireling and a father and a prophet. Is that the father and the prophet will say, well, whether you do it or not, my assignment is you. So I go with you. If you're going to go that way, I'm going that way. It's not the way I would go, but I'm attached to you. I'm not attached to the message. A teacher's going, well, my teaching is what's so important that if you can't hear, I've got to find someone who can. Or the hireling says, you know, where we're headed is to the wolf, and I don't really feel like finding a wolf myself, so I'm leaving. But if we can lay down our life, we can go, you know what, I'm about to walk into this place to let Jesus be glorified in another way than the way we first stated it. So can you imagine, you hear that? Yet Jeremiah's not going, okay, I'm out of here. Get me out of the prison and on the first train to, you know, out of this Jerusalem. He's just going, okay, I'm in prison, futility surrounding me, and now all of a sudden here comes the big word. Behold. I will bring it health. What is it? It is Jerusalem. It can be Jubilee. It can be you. It should be you and move it outward. Because everything God does, he does to a person, to a people, and to a place. The place is recognized because of the people. The people are recognized because of the persons. An encounter with an individual God to an individual is the key. Collecting a bunch of individuals, having individual experiences with God begins to create synergy or that where the multiplication takes place, and then when it begins to happen, it affects the place that everyone's in. So tonight, I want to introduce the idea that every one of these 6-7 promises, we can begin to pull on them. I heard these 2 years ago, so I've had a bit of a head start meditating on it. I've gone through them. I've read this, looked in the Strong's Concordance to get the sense of the definition so that I've understood. There are three, the next three verses are going to talk about what God's going to do. Then the next four or five verses talks about the result of God doing what he's about to do. Then comes a culmination of, I'm going to do this in a really short time, and by all of this, I'm going to cause a tremendous thing happen in Jerusalem, in Judea, and it's going to affect even the Messiah being revealed. So it's just huge, which I don't know if that's ever happened to you, that you're trying to get an answer for a problem at home and God starts talking to you about a nation. You're kind of like, God, please get it. Can you bring it down to the focus point? But he doesn't know how to, because once he touches one, he can touch a nation. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Let me explain it first. I want you to ask the Lord to give you the victory. If no one else gets the victory, give me the victory. Let me have the victory that I might give it to others. Let me have a breakthrough that I might send it to others. Let me receive freely that I might multiply it. So that I'm not waiting for others to get it so I can have it. I just want to have it. All it takes is one person, one woman who can't get healed through the doctors, presses through and touches Jesus, and that miracle was spread abroad, and multitudes began to do the same follow-up, touching, healing. But somebody had to make the breakthrough. Why not you? Why not you? Everybody's told you you can't. Why don't we say I can? All it takes is one of us. So, Father, give me the victory. I say that. Father, give me the victory. I want to obtain the victory you want to give us right now. If I have to be the first person to break through, God, give me the grace to break through. Give me the tenacity, the experience, the expectancy. Give me the victory. For some of you, I say by the Spirit, and I can't take us over there. Joshua 14, verse 6 through the end of the chapter is the story of a man's prayer who's waited 45 years for his prayer to be answered. It's the story of Caleb coming to Joshua and coming and said, I want you to give me my mountain that I saw when I first came here 45 years ago. I want you to give me the mountain. Then he says, it may be that God will give it to me. I want to tell you something about a promise, that once a promise has worked its way inside your spirit, you just want, at some point, you know it's time to go try unto the Lord without even a guarantee you're going to succeed. You don't even care because it's just time to do. It's time to walk into it and walk through it, and let's go have that victory. And he specifically said, I want where the giants are. I want the situation that frightened Israel out of its wits and made them all back out. I want that mountain. And it may be that God will give it to me. Because faith is not a calculated act to bring about a desired result. Faith is abandoned trust in the love of God and the promise and the word he spoke. So here we go. Let's do it. I want that victory. I want that victory. I want it. I want these scriptures. So now, let's do these seven promises. Make them yours. Imagine what would that look like in your life. Start with you. Then let it go into your family. Let it go into the other families. Let it go into our body. Let it go into the church of Jesus Christ. Because even as Jerusalem has been, at this point, is being regathered from being scattered, so Christendom has had that experience to some degree. So, first promise that God says, behold, I will bring it. I will. The I wills of God. I'll bring it health, healing, and I will heal it, and I will reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. Now, I will bring it. Health, healing, and heal them. Health is wholeness. Healing are cures. And heal them as I will stitch them and mend them together. So imagine in all of whatever state we might find ourselves, the Lord coming to us to make us whole by bringing forth all of the manner of cure that he has at his disposal and making us stitched and mended and repaired and restored. And with that comes the revelation or the making bare the abundance of peace and truth. Okay, so we're going to focus on healing, coming in every kind of form and every way, bringing wholeness and mending. Focus on peace, which is shalom, safety, blessing, well-being. And we're going to focus on truth, which the basis of truth is something you can build upon. So close your eyes if that helps, or look at the scriptures if that helps. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. I ask you for a supernatural experience by the Holy Spirit. We behold. We open our eyes to see. We behold you bringing health, healing, and healing us. Health, healing, and healing us. And in the health, healing, and healing us, revealing, making bare the abundance of your peace and truth. Shababa. Now let those words find expression in your current life and where you're living. Kamande. See it come and touch your heart and your home. Touch the circumstances of your body or your soul. See your eyes opening to see a new expression and experience of peace and truth, larger than life. Lord, it's your truth, it's your word, so I thank you for doing this. La barila moto kaba. Yanda la borramate lamo. I'll state what I'm hearing and then pray in tongues to let that manifestation show up in my soul. Kata le motoko. Again, this is interactive, so join your faith to this word and make it your promise for you today. Tara mandalo moka. Onde besaba hituta la me te. Health, healing, and heal us. Reveal abundance, peace, and truth. Shabunda baba idula mabade. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. I believe he wants to break through for somebody. I believe he wants to break into somebody. He wants to find a landing point tangibility to touch us. Our imaginations, our situations, our souls, our hearts, our bodies. Let's let the healing power of God come. Hashambo de la. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And I will. Now we go to the second activation. I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return. And I'll rebuild those places as at the first. Again, we have a coupling promise. I'm going to bring back what's been scattered. I'm going to gather that which has been broken, sent away. I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to return it. And then I'm going to rebuild it into its, not like it was before, but into the place of prominence that has been given by me. So think of anything and everything. It can be thoughts, emotions, people, friends, situations, promises that have been scattered abroad. And consider God bringing them, causing them to return. Where we all of a sudden, wow, where did these come from? How did this get here? How did this find its way back to my house? How did this enter into my life again? And with that also, think of God not only bringing everything back, but not into a refugee camp, but into a rebuilt place of habitation of the prominence that it was given from God in heaven. Shibunda la maba. Now I'm going to be quiet for a minute and you use your mouth to make this year sound. Heavenly Father, do so now. Awaken for each of us. Quote the scripture back to yourself. Declare it out loud. Make it yours. Sometimes one word will just stand out above all the other words. Stop there and let that word be your portal, your door into the scripture. Let it be larger than just information, but let it be a picture, let it be sound, imagination, motion. Let the Holy Spirit rest upon it. Come, Holy Spirit. I'll return and rebuild. Return and rebuild. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Once you have a sense of something, now say back to him what you see him saying. Praise him for doing it. What you see him saying. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you. Ooh, Shabba. Whoa. I see you. Shabumba hiki kabata sa. Yes, Lord. Couple it back to the scripture of healing and revealing. You're healing and revealing. You're causing returning and rebuilding. It can get really simple to one word. It can get very larger than the words you are, more words than the scripture itself. Either way is the Spirit of God amplifying, simplifying, making it yours. Kaba bibuko. Titunda le me da man bandi di kundu do mante ke ma bande le motoko sha. Pundere bande la man bamba. This is happening to us, not for others, yes, but for us, that's who we're pursuing right now, is to touch the hem of his garment here. Shibo baba de re me tu kama. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Okay, moving on to the third I will. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they've sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities by which they've sinned and by which they've transgressed against me. Word iniquity simply would be perversion. And the root of it is the willfulness of man, where we willed our way and got ourselves in trouble. He will do two glorious things. We willed our way and we ended up sinning against him, missed the mark. We willed our way and ended up sinning against him and transgressed and rebelled. He was going to do two glorious things. He will cleanse, which means he will make us shine again. He'll make us bright again. He'll make us illuminated again, back into light and delight. And then he will pardon, which means he'll forgive. And we will experience the fullness of forgiveness. We'll be like the widow, the woman at the well, so liberated by our encounter that we will be using it as our authenticator of God touching us. I will cleanse, I will pardon. All, wow. So open your spirit up and let's just now go into this verse and let it become, I believe they flow. Healing begins to happen, revealing begins to start growing, returning, rebuilding now, cleansing and and pardoning. Undala ba 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 ba. Come, Holy Spirit. Look at the verse. Read it out loud. Read it unto the Lord. Pause at a word. It's your promise. He's talking to you. It's God's doing. I will, I will, I will. Not us, not our ability to cleanse ourselves from iniquity or to pardon our iniquities. Ka-ba-ba-de-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. The willfulness of man. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Yes, Lord. See it. Hear it. Acknowledge what's happening, what's being said. Thank you, Father. Cleansing, shining, making bright again, pardoning, removing the purging conscience and sprinkling clean from an evil conscience. Shabba. Yeah, why not? Now couple them to what the beginning. I'll heal. I'll reveal. I'll cause to return. And I'll rebuild. I will cleanse. And I will pardon. I will heal. I will reveal. I'll return. Rebuild. I'll cleanse and pardon. All right. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah is sitting in a prison. He called on the Lord. The Lord's answered him. Now he's showing him great and mighty things which he does not know. In the midst of futility, he's speaking forth eternal purposes. And Jeremiah is grabbing them. He's writing them down. He's making them his. And he's declaring them for Jerusalem. And now they're ours. And we can declare them for families and Jubilee. Kababa nirimunta. Shibumba lehetu. Wow. Look for the sound, the touch, the experience to be touched, emotions to touch, imagination to be quickened, awakened. Follow that. That's the burning bush for the moment. That's the next trigger to unlock the next revelation, the next experience, to open up the fullness of what God's bringing. Kabare lema. We worship you, Jesus. Now look up here real quick, because we're going to... This next part is unbelievable. What's coming is so unbelievable, I still can't get my brain around it, and I work hard to try to imagine it. But if this was to take place in one of our lives, or a few of our lives, it would catch the attention, as it will here. Because now he goes, it's to the, then it shall be, or it will now be because... Then it shall, Jerusalem, then you shall be to me a name. A name is something you give to someone to identify them in one word. It's a name that identifies them in the uniqueness of who they are and who they're called to be. And so all of a sudden, this desolation, this city that has been destroyed, is now going to be known to God as a name of joy, a name of praise, and a name of honor. Joy is cheerfulness. It is the hilarity, the joy, the happiness, the cheerfulness. And praise is the highest tehillah, the high praises of God. And honor is the place, the foundation of his glory, the ornaments, the beauty of who he is, before all the nations of the earth. So God's intent, through all of the wills that he initiates, is that we become, I become, you become a name to him. Joy, praise, and honor before all the nations of the earth. So pause, because it's a big thought. So just grab this one first. Lord, I thank you that you are making me to you a name. When you know me by my earthly name, Steve, you'll also know me by your given name to me of joy, praise, and honor. And just like you'll give us new names as we enter into eternity, these are names that become ours. We'll be known by God by the name of joy and praise and honor. And you'll make that name to be known. It's a distinguisher. I will be known before the nations of the earth as joy, praise, and honor. Pa-ba-ba. Let that sink in. Because so many times we live life cursed, so many ways that we are quick to receive an evil report, and it's hard to hear something so sweet as to be called joy, praise, and honor. Sha-ba-ba. Yes, Lord, before all the nations. Now, let's go on. Who shall hear? The word hear, means to hear intelligently. So it's not a rumor, it's recognizable. It's something that can be looked upon and whoa. So it becomes joy, praise, and honor, translates into something that can be recognizably seen and heard. And what all that is the good that I'll do to them. And this good that I'll do to them will cause fear and trembling, which is to be alarmed, to be frightened, to be all of a sudden aware of something has changed, and they'll be that way because of all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for it. Didn't go. Just like when Abimelech realized that Abraham was somebody you don't want to mess with because God was way with him. Or that Isaac was somebody you wanted to have a covenant with even though you didn't want him around. There comes a distinguishing thing. And they're going to tremble for all the goodness and prosperity that I provide for it. So this is the one that just blows my brain. I want you to imagine what would it take for your life to all of a sudden become a name that's not only to God, but recognized by others, of joy, praise, and honor, that would demonstrate goodness, and it would cause a reaction of godly fear and reservation and trembling because it would, because of the multiplied goodness and prosperity provided to you. Nations might be neighbors, might be friends, might be fellow people of same pursuit. Just take a moment now. Let's internalize that. Heavenly Father, come and bring for us by Holy Spirit this glorious promise. Shabba yitikumov baba. It shall be. We will be known before you as joy, praise, and honor. Ha! And we, all the nations, will hear of the goodness that you'll provide for us, do for us. Shabba baba ba. And they'll fear and tremble at the goodness and the prosperity and that you provide for us. Let that break through the siege mentality, break through the prison mentality, break through the futility mentality. Color coming to a black and white movie. Come on. Shabba Baba. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We receive these truths to frame our future, to decree our present moment. We are here now. Becoming, being made a name, joy and praise and honor before all the nations who hear of all the goodness you do for us, and they fear and tremble at all at the goodness and prosperity you provide for us. Whoa. We receive this, that you are able to do this because of Jesus Christ, and because you spoke it, and you're able to perform what you promise, because it is a word that you have made known to us as a now Rhema word for us to lay hold of and put on as a shield, as a portal, as a door into our faith. Ha ha. Pull on it. It's so vast. It just almost stupefies my mind. It's just like, oh, I can't grasp that. Shabbat, yeah, come on. Yeah, there you go. Holy Spirit helps. There he comes. Now, verse 10. We're at number 5. We're at the second cause of God's coming. Then says the Lord, again, and there shall be heard in this place. Heard in this place of which you say is desolate, means desert, wasteland, torched, a city in Syria, and without beast, in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate, stunned, made numb, dumb, battle fatigued, stress syndrome, traumatized, that without man, without inhabitant, without beast, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of those who say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, and the voice of those who bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. So all of a sudden, where we have been saying, we're hearing. Where we have been describing someone, we're hearing an opposite sound. How many would like to hear an opposite sound? I don't want to hear the droning of destruction and misery and despair. I'd like to be in the middle of that CNN program and all of a sudden hear God chuckling and rejoicing and decreeing and prophesying and speaking, and that marriages abounding, praise erupting, Joy, gladness. Joy is that cheerfulness. Gladness is blithesomeness, which means blithe is a word that is happy without worry. It's almost like, it's as though you are rejoicing. You're happy without any idea, without any fear of something bad happening. You're not waiting for the next shoe to drop. You're not tenuous about what's going to happen next. You just kind of totally carefree in your joy. Come on, Lord, you're impregnating and you're building and you're brooding and you're swirling and you're magnifying truth inside of us. And we welcome this new sound in what we've called desolation, that you're now calling joy and gladness, that you're now calling marriage and covenant, praise and thanksgiving of who you are and how good you are, and sacrifices of praise. Shubu-ba-ba-ba. Thank you, Lord. So, and then I want you to imagine that right now and throughout the next few days, every time you enter into what you've seen to be and heard to be and said to be, desolate, desolation, numbness, stunned, life isn't working, I've been shut down, I've been stopped, I've been crippled and paralyzed, that as you walk into those places that life carries us to walk in, you're going to hear joy, you're going to hear gladness in your spirit, and you're going to begin to see the sound of it surrounding you and the testimony of it beginning to break forth like deserts in the wilderness, like springs in the desert. There's something breaking forth. It's uncommon. It's supernatural. It isn't coming from the desolation. It's coming from the voice of the Lord. And the sound of it starting to get over your ears. Instead of dread and anticipation of evil, now there's something that's causing a hope that's way beyond any reason you should have it. And it's a sound of joy and gladness, of covenants being born and renewed. Ha ha, Shibu. Of praise and thanksgiving to your goodness and his mercies and Shabba Baba and the voice of everyone agreeing. Let's bring the sacrifice of praise. Let's bring the praise. Let's bring the praise. Let's bring the praise. We need more praise. Get the praise up here. We need more praise. Praise has got to come. Come to the King. Come alive. Come alive. Come alive. We're not living in the reports of the earth. We're living in the report of heaven. I want you to see it. You've got to see it because it's supposed to be for you. Shabba Baba 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 Baba. Hunda ba 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 ba. Whoa, there it is, kicking in. Okay, sixth point. Thus says the Lord, verse 12, in this place which is desolate. All right, we already got it. We're desolate. Without man and without beast, and in all its cities there shall be again a dwelling place of shepherds causing their flocks to lie down in the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the lowland, in the cities of the south, in the land of Benjamin, in the places around Jerusalem, in the cities of Judah. The flocks shall again pass under the hands of him who counts them, says the Lord. That's prosperity. That's commerce. That's movement, increase. This was a shepherding people, so this is like we are going to be in full of a lot of sheep. So let's imagine that. Let's receive that. Let's receive prosperity. Let's receive increase. Let's receive where it was desolate. Remember, without man, without inhabitant, without beast. Now all of a sudden there's all kinds of sheep, and there's counting, and there's giving, and there's selling, and there's tithing, and there's multiplication. Come on. Lord, we receive it. Put this in deep in our spirit and paint it on our heart. Three things I will do. Three things that come about by him doing those three things. We're a name, we're a praise. We're heard before the nations. They fear and they tremble. Goodness and prosperity in the place where we have known and said it's just desolate. It's a desert, and we are stunned and dumb and numb. All of a sudden, there's an erupting the sound of joy and gladness and bridegroom, covenant, praise, thanksgiving. And in the place where it seemed to be nothing but desolation, now all of a sudden there's commerce, there's increase, there's flocks in all the places, in every place. There's multiplication. They're all over the place. Come on. Shibobababa. Come on. I want you to see multiplication. Multiplication in all places that you know and have right to or have connections to. Whoa, wow. Now real quickly, because we're out of time, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel, to the house of Judah. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Now faith is. I believe today is that day. Do you believe that today could be that day? Today is that day. Today is that day. And when that day is, so now when this six things start to manifest in the fashion that they are moving in those days, at that time, I'll cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness, and he'll execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. So Messiah begins to be seen. The revelation of Jesus starts to manifest. The kingdom of God begins to be revealed through the sons of God growing up. And verse 16, and in those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely, and this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. So when this is happening, there begins to be seen the manifestation of Jesus, the movement of heaven to bring justice and righteousness, the safety of Judah, the salvation of Jerusalem. Something begins to tangibly shift and bring covenant breakthrough. So let's just close with letting that our imagination go. God, we thank you that we're coming into a moment in time where you are going to do things that are beyond anything we could have hoped for. You're coming, and these days you will cause to grow up, you'll cause Messiah to be seen to Jerusalem and Judea. You will cause in the days of Judah them to be saved. There will be judgments executed, righteousness in the earth. There will be safety. There will be provision, protection. And we will be known. Jerusalem will be known. All of your sons and daughters will be known as the Lord is our righteousness. That the Lord is our righteousness. That he is the one who has made us righteous. Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord is our righteousness. That our righteousness is of the Lord. It's not by might, not by our right. It's by you. Whoa. That means total justification, total glorification, total in separation from love. That means the fulfillment of God's purpose that he accomplished in Christ, now seen in us. Stand up with me, would you please? We are to be witnesses to this resurrection of Jesus. So Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for praying. You guys are good. I can feel we started moving into the agreement of this word. Can you feel that? Can you have a point to connect to? Yeah. To return to tomorrow? To go investigate? To nurture in your spirit? To increase in your imagination? I sense the Lord's intentionality in this. But it was there before the service started. What we did is we stepped in on purpose and said, I'll take that. I'll let that be mine. Go ahead. I think that's a good promise. I'm in agreement. I'm going to pull that in. Yeah. I'm going to make that. I'm going to pull that kite in. I like that kite in the sky. I'm going to pull you in and make you mine. I like that treasure in the darkness. I think it's time for you to come out of darkness and be mine. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge without you we cannot see. We cannot understand. We cannot have power. We're just going to be super limited. But we're not without you. We have you. And you have us. In the name of Jesus, seal us now. Seal everyone online. And bring us into a place where we can Selah, mark the page, mark the place, and return tomorrow. Kuababa. I prophesy and I challenge and I charge that someone in here, if not many in here, will come to a point where you will get up on this platform and say, I heard these words and I began to call this to be true. And when I began to call it true, at first it changed me. It took me a while to even think these things were possible, but I want to tell you that these now things have happened to me. And that's when the jaws of people will drop, because they'll hear of the tangible miracles that have happened that will demonstrate the faithfulness and truth of his promise. But that won't be the victory for you, because you got the victory when you're sitting in a prison, living in futility, and then God spoke to you and said, I'm changing everything. Behold, behold, behold. And you're going to have not only the delight of the victory, but the authority to communicate victory to others. You'll have the ability to say, now you behold, because my God who did it for me will do it for you. Freely I have received, now freely I'm going to give it to you. So in the name of Jesus, I give to you what I've received so far, the ability to believe and receive invisible truth, eternal reality inside of God that changes me from the inside out, until I am not limited by where I live and what I see, but I'm only limited by what God has said and what I hear. So in the name of Jesus, I release for you that seed of his word coming deep inside your spirit and breaking forth in light, in illumination, in experiential truth, until such a time you will stand up here and you'll say, I heard, I saw, and God did. And now I am testifying to what God has done. And if for you to see, look at this, because that's how you can see what I heard. He did it. He brought it forth. He fulfilled his good pleasure. I am known as a praise, a joy, and an honor. I carry the sound of joy and gladness. I walk in faithfulness and covenant and joyfulness of the bridegroom and the bride. I live in the praise, and I'm praising him for his goodness and his mercy, and I'm thanking him all day long. And everywhere I go, there's communication, there's prosperity, there's increase. This is the God I serve, because he's constantly healing me. He's revealing to me. He's constantly restoring me, returning me, and rebuilding me. And he continues to cleanse me, and he continually pardons me. This is my God and Messiah. He is the one now who made these things possible. Come see Jesus. Come behold Jesus. Come behold Jesus. Wow. Whew. Man, there's something right there with that. I felt the seed. So in the name of Jesus, seal it and send us home in love and peace, and let us explore this tomorrow in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you.